dialing.
Who just joined?
Ethan Walton.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Conference call.
Yoshiya, mommy's on the phone.
Aren't you glad it's just a podcast?
Hey, thank you so much for downloading our little show. Yes, it's a little show, but you know what? It's jam-packed with big information this week. And actually over the next 2 weeks, because this one's definitely going to be a two-parter, I think. We're covering two really big topics. Number one, requirements to prepare you for your first Walmart pitch meeting in 2020. And then number two, what you need to do immediately upon getting a yes from that Walmart buyer. These are two areas where suppliers, both large and small, you can really be caught off guard if you've never worked with Walmart before. There are lots of little details to cover even before pursuing that very first meeting. So my old friend Joel Graham's going to join us here in the studio right after the break, and he's going to explain in detail what you need before that first meeting and what you've got to begin planning for in case you get that yes from the Walmart buying team, because that is where the fun begins.
Please hold. Your call is being transferred. The Ethan Walton conference call.
Ethan Walton is here to support and educate the supplier community. If you have a question about our services or would like to know more about an upcoming class, we can chat. Log on to ethanwalton.com/chat. Our team is standing by to begin a chat session with you. We're happy to answer your questions about supporting your business. Chat with us today, ethanwalton.com/chat.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by Ethan Walton.
Your call is starting.
And now your host, Jared Davis.
I asked my friend Joel Graham to step in the studio and talk about this big topic. Thank you so much for being here, sir.
Hey, Jared. Thank you.
We got to talking about this the other day because, you know, we're coming up on the first of the year. We got a lot of suppliers that may be thinking about going after that Walmart contract in 2020. First big question, if I'm a supplier, not currently with Walmart, and I'm going to approach that buyer for the very first time, what are some things that I really need to be thinking about even before I try to set a Walmart meeting?
Well, it's an excellent question, and it's a super important question. Before answering that question, the next part of that would be, have I done anything retail yet? I sold direct to consumer only, and I'm not familiar with the retail process at all? That is a very different experience for a supplier, a new supplier, if they get the business, than someone who's already selling to Costco or Kroger or whatever, because there's similarities in those veins of retail. But a brand new supplier, let's say they know nothing. They're just walking into it, got the yes, or they need to prepare for the yes even. They need to know what their production capacity is. They need to understand, or if you get the business, are you capable of owning it?
We've seen that before. Whenever we cover the supplier open calls with Walmart, where someone will come in and they get the yes, and then we'll follow back up with them or kind of keep track of them about 6 months, a year later, and they didn't do anything because they were awarded 1,000 stores, and it was just they were just overcome.
Yeah.
So that is a good point, something to watch out for.
For sure, and be careful about going big. If you get 50 stores and you're a small mom-and-pop type operation or you're just getting into the retail world, be thankful.
Yeah.
Get your feet wet in 50 stores before you go 1,000, because 1,000 will be a huge failure. And a huge failure like that would probably not allow you to become part of that Walmart agreement later, ever.
Right.
The other thing is things like have a DUNS number. Have a credit score and a DUNS number assigned to you from Dun and Bradstreet. Walmart will require that to understand your credit worthiness as a supplier, and it'll be a scale. Have insurance, and it's an umbrella of insurance, and it's somewhere around $2 to $4 million of insurance. You can't get into the numbers because there's like tier one, tier two, tier three.
Right.
You know, if you're a certain kind of supplier, the insurance requirements are higher. Be prepared to spend lots of money on memberships with One World Sync or DataSync. If you're not part of the GS1, you need to be part of the GS1 and have a GLN or a global location number /UPC. Be prepared to pay for CTL testing, consumer testing labs. Be prepared to possibly send that product overseas for testing in facilities that aren't in the U.S. And be prepared to overnight those even. If you're a chemical, aerosol, or pesticide, you have to pay for something called the WERCS, Worldwide Environmental Regulatory Compliance. They create the MSDS sheets and help Walmart decide if something needs to be disposed, if it's okay to dispose it, and how to dispose it. Be prepared to have a spend for EDI. Do you have an EDI capacity now, or do you need to hire somebody that's third party, like Commerce Hub or SPS Commerce or some of those that do EDI support? And they're easily found on Google, but Those are all spends. You could spend $40,000 before you even make one sale. In fact, that's an example. Walmart will require you to have a data sync account. So you call up, you know, whoever data sync provider you want. Get all that stuff done ahead of time if you can. Or if you get the yes, be prepared to sprint through these things to be able to get the item built and get yourself set up for a purchase order, because it's all sequential. I can't build an item without a factory ID and a brand ID assigned to me from Walmart. So that's what I call pre-item setup. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of work ahead of, you know, I got the yes, I'm going to get an item number, yay. No. And once all that starts, that's just the beginning. Then the PO comes and you ship it. And is it compliant? Does it get there on time? Is it received in full? And all the processes about getting an appointment into the DC, then managing reporting that monitors the success of your item as it gets into the stores.
Yeah, so that's a lot of homework that we have to do even before we set the Walmart meeting, and then kind of what we can expect along the lines of that. Yes, so I've done my homework. I met with the Walmart buyer, and they just gave me a yes. Maybe they gave me 50 stores or 1,000 stores. Even before that first purchase order comes, what do I need to be aware of, and what do I need to be planning for so that I don't get caught with a purchase order and get caught unaware?
Yeah, don't be that supplier that got the yes and then sort of folds their hands together and patiently waits.
Right.
Because do you even have a vendor number? Has the buyer moved you toward, okay, the first thing you need is a vendor number, and I'm going to get you in touch with the supplier onboarding team that's new at Walmart? This is funny and tongue-in-cheek, but call me. But don't go it alone. Don't try to guess what's needed and what's next. Be purposeful and be bold with the buyer. If you get the business and the yes comes and the week or two goes by and there's no noise, start asking questions. What do I need to do next? Do I have a vendor number? Great, I got a vendor number. Well, I need an item number now, right? Because I can't have a purchase order without an item number. But you can't have an item number without a factory ID, which means I have to get the factory business license from that factory. I have to fill out an entire big form on Retail Link that puts my factory as a disclosed factory to Walmart and puts it in a situation where Walmart can go and inspect that factory if they need to.
Well, can I ask you about it? Because you just mentioned Retail Link, and that is huge. So once I get the yes from Walmart, I mean, all my work is going to be done inside Retail Link. So when do you first learn about that, and when do you need to know about that? Because you just said you got to fill out a form in Retail Link.
Well, that's an excellent question, and I just had this experience. So I got the yes. The buyer should and will initiate a supplier agreement. And that will come to you in a form of an email with a link that says click here. And oh, by the way, here's a temporary Retail Link access that only gets you into that part of Retail Link.
Okay.
So you go in, you disclose your officer of your company and address and DUNS and all that stuff. You fill all that out. And as it progresses, you'll be working with a team in Walmart called Vendor Master in addition to the buyer. You get this back and forth of emails where steps occur. And you will get a final email that says, click here to finish your process. You start to get more access to Retail Link. But until you complete all that stuff, you won't have full-blown Retail Link access, which is, we all know, the tool for everything to do business with Walmart. So, yeah, that is a super important piece. I've had suppliers that have gotten that email and don't know what to do with it and sat on it. And the dangerous thing about this is if you don't take action quickly, the buyer probably is giving you the yes, but there's a modular that's going to get ready to be executed, what we call a mod drop. That's going to happen whether you're there or not. And if you're not an item number by the time that happens, you miss that, and now you're out 6 months. You've missed the window. So it's extremely important that a supplier knows, I need to push and push and push to get that vendor number. And if I'm not getting an email from somebody saying, welcome to Walmart, then I need to be asking questions.
You know what? We're going to wrap things up right here, and we're going to continue our conversation with Mr. Joel Graham on our next podcast to get you set for your first Walmart meeting and your first yes from Walmart. Thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you next time.
The chairperson has left. Goodbye.